Welcome to Animals Today. I'm Dr. Peter Spiegel, and I am so excited to be bringing you today's show on animal hoarding, and specifically the minds of the hoarders. You know, almost daily I come across one or more stories about animal hoarding. Many of them just make you shake your head. Of course, the animals are typically abused, hungry, sick, dirty, or dead. The homes or apartments are typically filthy, with the inhabitants living in squalor. Just this week, there are new stories about 50 cats removed from a home in Brooklyn. In Battle Creek, city workers detected an odor coming from a home, and investigators then found 18 cats, two dogs, a rabbit, most requiring veterinary care, and feces everywhere. The homeowner may face charges of animal neglect. And near Buffalo, a married couple was charged with at least 5 counts of animal cruelty and 4 counts of endangering the welfare of a child. In their home, which also had strong odors of animal waste, were numerous cats, prairie dogs, 6 dogs, guinea pigs, a small pig, as well as 4 children. In the barn was more than 24 other animals who appeared to be sick and starving. In this instance, the picture was so bleak, the children were placed in the custody of relatives. So fascinated have we become that on television, Confessions, Animal Hoarding depicts all the elements in stark and sometimes shocking detail. Later in the hour, I'll have some hot animal news stories for you, including the Supreme Court's ruling on drug-sniffing dogs, and yes, the next chapter in the miniature horse as service animals story. But now I'm very, very pleased to welcome Professor Randy Frost to the show. Professor Frost is professor of psychology at Smith College. He is an internationally recognized expert on obsessive-compulsive disorder and compulsive hoarding, and has published more than 150 scientific articles and book chapters on these topics. Dr. Frost serves on the Scientific Advisory Board of the International OCD Foundation, and his work is supported by the Obsessive Compulsive Foundation as well as the National Institute of Mental Health. And his latest book, co-authored with Gail Stedeke, is titled Stuff, Compulsive Hoarding and the Meaning of Things. Hello, Dr. Frost.
Hello. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome. We're very happy that you're here. And, you know, those 3 stories that I just recounted as examples of animal hoarding probably sound familiar to our readers. And to get started, why don't you give us a working definition of animal hoarding? What is it?
Well, animal hoarding is characterized by the accumulation of an unusually large number of animals. As the first feature. The second is a failure to provide adequate care and living environment for the animals. And the third feature is an impairment in the health, safety, social, or occupational functioning of the individual in addition to the animals. So a lot of those things go together, but there's one other thing that is a feature of this that is prominent, and that it has to do with the nature of the attachment to the animal. And here's where animal hoarding cases get kind of funny, because All of us have attachments to our pets, and those attachments mimic, or in some cases are no different than our attachments to people in terms of their emotional significance for us. Now, we see this in animal hoarding cases, but we see it in a much more extreme form, so that people who hoard animals tend to believe that they have a relationship with their animals that goes beyond the normal kind of pet-human relationship. And often, that belief borders on a delusion or a set of delusions about their own ability to communicate with animals and the animals' ability to attach themselves to them.
Interesting that the notion of delusion comes in so prominently. We are impressed with how frequently we read about these cases of hoarding in the news. How common is it in the United States, and do you get a feeling that the incidents might be increasing?
Well, that's a tough question. We don't have a good way of telling how frequently this happens, because we can't really do the kinds of epidemiological studies we can do with other disorders because of people's unwillingness to talk about it. We think there are somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,000 new cases a year in the United States, But that doesn't really tell us much about how many cases as a whole exist, except that there are this number of new cases each year. We do know that hoarding per se, that the sort of object hoarding, people who fill their homes with objects, is much more prevalent than we ever thought. It seems to affect somewhere between 2 and 6% of the population. And we know that animal hoarding is related to object hoarding, although it's not entirely clear how much they overlap. We know that a substantial number of people who hoard animals also hoard objects. So in those cases, the two sort of go together. But there are lots of cases of animal hoarding where there's not the hoarding of objects. And there are lots of cases of object hoarding where the person doesn't hoard animals.
Yeah. So I look, looking ahead, I do want to delineate a little bit further about this similarities and contrast between object and animal hoarding. But I wanted to ask you first if you would flesh out a little bit more about some of the features of animal hoarding and the hoarders. What are some of the characteristics of your typical case of animal hoarding in terms of number of animals, what you see when you enter a house, what sorts of species are involved? Give us a more of a flavor of that.
Well, most animal hoarding cases involve domestic animals, cats and dogs. And the typical animal hoarding case has some average about 30 to 40 dogs or cats that have basically taken over the living environment of the person's home. The rooms are often covered with feces, and the floors are urine-soaked. Sometimes it's severe enough that the house cannot be saved and has to be torn down. There's significant risk. In addition to the health problems the animals face, there's significant risk to the human health with the amount of ammonia that's in the air in homes such as this. So these kinds of cases, especially if you have a large number of animals and it's been going on for a long time, these kinds of cases can be very extreme, and they get out of hand quickly. If you can imagine, you know, having 30 or 40 animals and not being able to care for them, that seems to be one of the features that happens. And this provides us with a little bit of a way of distinguishing different types of animal hoarding cases. In some cases, a person has multiple animals, reasonably able to care for them until something happens in their life. And often that is a change in a relationship, for instance, the death of a spouse, the death of a loved one, or possibly even a change in resources, loss of job or disability or something like that. And then the situation gets out of hand, so that the animals are no longer being taken care of. They don't get fed as much. The waste products don't get removed, and then it gets out of hand quickly. These types of hoarding cases we call overwhelmed caregivers.
Yeah.
And here, it's a little easier to deal with these cases because once they're identified and once officials come in, the person can recognize that this has gotten out of hand and that they need help. And so the resolution of those cases is a little bit easier. The other major form that we see this take is people who have this more delusional quality where they believe it is their mission to save animals. And here the situation can get out of hand very quickly. Often we see much higher numbers in terms of animal census for these folks. There's a case that we describe in our book Stuff, a case of a woman who had 200 cats and living in New York City. But that paled in comparison to her psychiatrist, who had 700.
And, oh, perfect.
And the psychiatrist had created sort of a cat hoarding cult. With the mission of this cult was to save the cats of New York City. And it was very difficult for any of them to break away because of the rigidity of these beliefs about their ability to communicate with animals, their ability to empathize with animals, and their belief that the animals could recognize and were asking any animal who they saw, they believed that animal was asking them for help.
We're speaking with Dr. Randy Frost. The topic is animal hoarding. You're listening to Animals Today. Stick around and we'll continue the discussion.
They're going. In the next few days, 10 amazing cars are going to disappear. If you want one to be yours, now is the time to enter the OnStar Push-On Sweepstakes. So now, not tomorrow, not when you have a spare minute, not after your week slows down. Now is the time to push your blue OnStar button. Tell the advisor you want to enter, and you could be one of 10 people to win the Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, or Cadillac of your choice. You don't have to be an active OnStar customer. There's no obligation. But you have to push your blue button soon. And maybe a Cadillac CTS-V Coupe, a Chevrolet Corvette Convertible, a GMC Yukon Denali, or a Buick Enclave could be yours. Just for pushing one little button. Sweepstakes exclude Chevrolet Volt. No purchase necessary. Visit OnStar.com for rules and alternate entry details. Void where prohibited. Ends May 31st, 2011. Must be 18 years of age or age of majority and U.S. or Canadian legal resident. Limit 3 entries per person regardless of entry method, but only one blue OnStar button push per vehicle.
I'm child behavioral therapist James Lehman. I know you need the Total Transformation Program to turn around your child's behavior, but for some reason you haven't tried it. Maybe you're skeptical and doubt that it will work for you and your child. Listen, I'm willing to give away 1,000 copies of The Total Transformation to the most skeptical of parents for free. All I need you to do is send me your feedback about how it works for you and your child, and the program will be free. You get the program for free, and I get the satisfaction of knowing how The Total Transformation helped your child. Anyone who says they can change your child's behavior should be willing to prove it. We're going to prove once and for all that the Total Transformation Program works for every behavior problem imaginable. And it'll be free to 1,000 of my most skeptical customers.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402. That's 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think nobody's home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer at 1-866-789-3377. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-866-789-3377. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement, $35.99 per month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-866-789-3377. That's 1-866-789-3377.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-644-7850. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactiv Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-644-7850. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactive.com or call 1-800-644-7850. That's 1-800-644-7850.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Animals Today. We're here with Dr. Randy Frost, and we are delving into the mind and the behavior of animal hoarders and hoarding. Randy, what is there, or is there a typical profile of your animal hoarder, say in terms of gender or age of onset or personality or background? What is it that unifies such folks?
Yeah, well, that's just now coming into a little bit clearer view. We do know that most animal hoarding cases are women, not exclusively so, but there are more women than men who engage in this behavior. Also, it appears as though most cases are middle or older age, so from 40 to late 50s, early 60s, something like that. Most often, these folks are divorced or single or living, at any rate living alone than the general population. So we're starting to get a little bit of a picture here. In terms of background, personal history, one of the things that's become apparent in just the last few years from some research that we've done is that people who have this problem have suffered from either an abusive or chaotic childhood. Now, it's not always characterized by abuse, but it is often characterized by some kind of chaos in the way in which their lives were structured, organized, and disciplined when they were young. And we think what may happen is that that leads them to have a very tenuous attachment to other people, and to find attachments to animals to be more rewarding. So, as you know, an animal or a pet offers the person unconditional love. Even animals that have been neglected or abused will often have that ability to form that attachment with their owner. And we think what's happening with these folks is that perhaps that attachment early on, that sort of tenuous human attachment and some kind of experience with animals leads them to feel more comfortable with animals than with people.
Yes. And how about in associations with sort of conventional psychiatric disorders? Do you see any particular pattern there?
Just that we have not been able to study enough people to know. We think that there may be a comorbidity with attachment disorder, which is the difficulties with the forming of an emotional attachment with people. So we think that might be involved. Also to some of the personality disorders, and maybe even dissociative or delusional personality disorder, where... And that's where these delusions about their ability to communicate with animals comes in.
Yes. Okay, so let's try to put this further into context as we started earlier by comparing with object hoarding, the hoarding of objects, which, as you mentioned, is much more common and is certainly in an area that you're very interested in. How does the hoarding of animals differ and from object hoarding, and how are they similar?
Well, they're similar in a couple of ways. First of all, the living environment in both cases tends to be very disorganized and cluttered. The major difference in that context is that in animal hoarding cases, the environment is usually squalid, with the presence of feces and odor and so forth. And that's not the case with most cases of object hoarding. So that's a difference just in terms of the living conditions. when people save objects, typically the profile is of a whole wide variety of things that people save. There's no people who suffer from object hoarding don't save one thing. It's not like they're collectors where they collect one type of thing. They save virtually everything. In animal hoarding, we frequently see the hoarding of only one species of animals. Typically, we just see cats or dogs. Less frequently, we see larger animals or more exotic animals, but usually it's just one species. Object hoarding, we see typically an excessive level of acquisition, compulsive buying behavior, they've got acquisition of free things. In animal hoarding, it's not so clear that it happens that frequently. They clearly have to collect a large number of animals, but it's not clear how excessively that's done. So that's a little bit different as well.
Yeah.
In object hoarding, it tends to be more equal in terms of gender ratio. In animal hoarding, as I said, it's more women. Object hoarding also, people tend to be divorced or single or live alone more often than not. So that's similar with animal hoarding.
Yeah.
Object hoarding tends to start very early, 11 to 15 years old, but animal hoarding typically doesn't start till much later, middle age, typically. So there are some similarities and differences.
Can you explain to our audience who may not know DSM, what that is and where hoarding fits into the classification of diseases presently?
Yes, and this is an exciting piece of the story right now. The DSM refers to the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. It's published by the American Psychiatric Association, and it gets revised or updated every 20 to 25 years. And this May is the next revision. It's called DSM-5. It's the fifth revision of the code. And in DSM-5, for the first time, hoarding will be considered a separate diagnostic category. Used to be thought of as part of obsessive-compulsive disorder, but in recent years it's become clear that it's not quite the same thing and it should be considered separately. So what we will see starting in May is a separate diagnostic entity called hoarding disorder. Hoarding disorder is the diagnostic criteria spell out a problem with the hoarding of objects. And the question is whether animal hoarding would qualify under this diagnosis. And if you look at, we've done some writing on this, if you look at the nature of similarities between animal hoarding and object hoarding, it looks like animal hoarding will fit under that category. So there will be a diagnostic code or a mental condition that can be diagnosed for animal hoarding behavior.
You're listening to Animals Today. Please visit us at animalstodayradio.com. Today's guest is Dr. Randy Frost, and after the break, we are going to explore possible treatments for animal and object hoarders and ask the question, how do you get a psychiatrist with 700 cats to enter a treatment program? Stick around.
Could switching to Geico really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Is texting getting way out of hand? You know, I can't... Oh, please. Oh, that is funny. Where was I? Oh, yes, about texting. Pardon me. LOL, you are my BFF. So, like I was saying...
Switch to Geico now and you could save hundreds on your car insurance. For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
If you really love quality Swiss timepieces, then you must go to Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry. As you might expect from the store that has five times the selection of ordinary jewelry stores, you'll find an outstanding collection with brands like Tag Heuer, Movado, Tissot, Swiss Army, and many more. But it isn't just the brands. It's the number of timepieces within each brand that truly distinguishes Jared.
It can only be Jared.
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
It's Macy's Memorial Day Mattress Sale. Take an extra 10% off already reduced mattresses from Sealy, Simmons, Serta, and Stearns & Foster. Get a Simmons Firm Queen 2-Piece set for $329 or a Sealy Firm Queen 2-Piece set just $499. And get free mattress delivery with a minimum purchase of $799. Shop our stores, go to Macy's.com, or call 1-800-MACY-BED. Macy's Memorial Day Mattress Sale. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
They're going. In the next few days, 10 amazing cars are going to disappear. If you want one to be yours, now is the time to enter the OnStar Push-On Sweepstakes. So now, not tomorrow, not when you have a spare minute, not after your week slows down. Now is the time to push your blue OnStar button. Tell the advisor you want to enter, and you could be one of 10 people to win the Chevrolet, Buick,
GMC or Cadillac of your choice. You don't have to be an active OnStar customer. There's no obligation. But you have to push your blue button soon. And maybe a Cadillac CTS-V Coupe, a Chevrolet Corvette convertible, a GMC Yukon Denali, or a Buick Enclave could be yours. Just for pushing one little button. Sweepstakes exclude Chevrolet Volt. No purchase necessary. Visit OnStar.com for rules and alternate entry details. Void where prohibited. Ends May 31st, 2011. Must be 18 years of age or age of majority and U.S. or Canadian legal resident. Limit 3 entries per person regardless of entry method, but only one blue OnStar button push per vehicle.
You hear a lot of talk about which car is best, which smartphone is best, which auto insurance company is best. You know the drill. But I wonder if I could talk with you for a minute about another kind of best, one very close to my heart, or should I say stomach? I'm talking about eggs. That's right, delicious farm-fresh eggs cooked up hot and flavorful for breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever. To me, there's only one egg that truly is the best, the one that towers above all the others, Eggland's Best Eggs. What makes Eggland's Best the best? Well, first of all, there's the taste. I gotta say, no other egg tastes as fresh and delicious as Eggland's Best. I love mine over easy, but they're great any way you cook them. And then there's the nutrition. The fact is, compared to regular eggs, all-natural Eggland's Best gives you more of the superior nutrition your body needs. Things like 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D, plus 25% less saturated fat. Pretty exceptional, don't you think? So let the car companies and phone companies fight over who's best. When it comes to eggs, there's only one best. Eggland's Best. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs. Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think nobody's home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer at 1-866-789-3377. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-866-789-3377. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement, $35.99 per month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-866-789-3377. That's 1-866-789-3377.
I'm child behavioral therapist James Lehman. I know you need the Total Transformation Program to turn around your child's behavior, but for some reason you haven't tried it. Maybe you're skeptical and doubt that it will work for you and your child. Listen, I'm willing to give away 1,000 copies of the Total Transformation to the most skeptical of parents for free. All I need you to do is send me your feedback about how it works for you and your child, and the program will be free. You get the program for free, and I get the satisfaction of knowing how the Total Transformation helped your child. Anyone who says they can change your child's behavior should be willing to prove it. We're going to prove once and for all that the Total Transformation program works for every behavior problem imaginable, and it'll be free to 1,000 of my most skeptical customers.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402. That's 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402.
Welcome back to Animals Today. We're speaking with Dr. Randy Frost about animal hoarding and hoarding of objects, to put it in context. And Randy, there are studies concerning twins and studies looking at imaging of the brain through PET scan and functional MRI. Are they elucidating anything about what's going on with hoarders or possible treatment angles?
Well, they are telling us something about the way hoarding is transmitted. For instance, there are now 4 or 5 different genetic linkage studies and a number of family studies of hoarding that suggest, number one, that it runs in families, and number two, that it has some kind of linkage to certain chromosomes in the body. And so we don't know. It sort of varies from study to study what the chromosomes are, but it does suggest that hoarding is partly heritable, not completely, but at least partly so. So that's that is an interesting development. Now, exactly what's being inherited is not entirely clear. I suspect that's what is inherited is some of the information processing difficulties that we see in hoarding cases. We see problems with attention, like attention deficit disorder. We see problems with categorization, the ability to form categories, especially with respect to objects, and especially with respect to possessions people own. There is some differences in memory that people with hoarding problems tend to use visual cueing for memory and to rely on visual cueing, which is maybe why all the things end up in the middle of the room in a big pile. Now, we don't know whether those things are also true of people who hoard animals. fMRI studies suggest that there are certain circuits in the brain that are underactive at certain times and overactive at others. And again, that's characteristic of people with object hoarding, but again, these studies have not been done yet on people with animal hoarding, so we don't know whether it's true of them or not.
Gotcha. So one very interesting thing is the difficulty in successfully treating animal hoarders. They have a very high rate of recidivism or relapse. What do you make of that? How do you construct a treatment program for a hoarder of animals?
Yes, this is the next phase. I think this is what will be the focus in the next 10 to 15 years of research on this topic. In the past, how these cases have been treated has been unclear. Often when an animal hoarding case comes to light, the authorities come in, they remove the animals, and then there's nothing else that happens for this individual, so that in the end they start collecting animals again because really there's been no treatment. If we come in and take all the animals away, we change the condition of their property or their house, but we haven't really changed their behavior at all. So we have to understand the behavior a little bit and start to treat it. Now, there are a couple of clues we have, a couple of things that are important to pursue, and one is this attachment business and the attachment to people. So the first thing that a therapist should look at is how do you get this person reattached to other human beings? How do you get their life involved with others rather than so involved with animals? So that's one place to pursue, and there are some people doing that now and having a little bit of success with it. Again, there's no research on this, but just anecdotally. the other feature here that's difficult is this almost delusional level belief in their ability to understand animals better than anyone else, better than the authorities. And so there's often a sort of bitterness toward the animal control personnel who are involved in these animal hoarding cases. And that's a much tougher thing to treat, people who believe that they know better than the authorities, and no one's going to be able to convince them otherwise. Now, the interesting thing here is in the last few years, we've done some research where we've interviewed people who have had animal hoarding issues over the course of their lifetime. Most of these people are people who come through it and are on the other end and aren't engaging that behavior currently. And the interesting thing is that to a person, they can all look back and see that their beliefs about animals during the time they were hoarding animals were mistaken and were causing harm to those animals. But when they were in the middle of it, they couldn't see that. So at least what this tells us is it's possible for people to come through this. It's possible for people to be on the other side. But there's something that happens there that we don't know how they get to the point where they are on the other side and they can look back and say, yeah, that was a crazy belief.
And what became of that psychiatrist who was with 700 cats? What an incredible...
Well, the case that we describe in Stuff, the woman with 200 cats, was her patient for many years. And the only way she got over her hoarding was because of the extreme abuse. What happened was the psychiatrist got many of her patients to take care of these 700 cats for her. and began to abuse her patients. And finally, this woman had had enough, and she broke away from the psychiatrist, and that allowed her to break away from this sort of belief system about animals. And it was not too long after that that the psychiatrist died, and never really stopped hoarding animals before she died.
Got it. So do you think the public gets an accurate picture to the true nature of animal hoarding through the stories that you see on the news?
Probably not. The news stories tend to be very sensationalized, and the person with this problem comes out the other end being vilified. And that kind of situation gets in the way of their seeking help. It was one of the cases that we described was of a woman who was saving cats. She had 40 or 50 cats, something like that, living with her elderly mother. She got in trouble because the cats were really interfering with the quality of life for her mother, seriously so. And this was in the New England area, and so there's a big town meeting about it, and this woman was forced to sit in the midst of the town meeting with everyone vilifying her. And you know, when we interviewed her, what she said was, look, I really would like to find a romantic partner. This is a woman in her 50s, and I'd like to get married, but there's no one on the horizon right now, and these cats are keeping my love alive until someone comes along. So in her mind, these animals were serving this function. She had such affection for them and no other outlet for this, no other connection. Now, to go along with that, just to flush out the clinical picture, this is a woman with, even if she met someone, she couldn't have them over to her home because of the condition of the home. So she had kind of boxed herself into this behavior.
Indeed. That's a lot of explaining to do if you're going to pass through her living room.
Right.
So how about children? Earlier, we know that sometimes children are in the house or involved in this. Do children get harmed through animal hoarding?
Yes. If the condition of the home is has deteriorated, the children really are at risk. And so in a number of cases, the Children's Services has removed children from the homes of people with animal hoarding issues. Sometimes that happens with object hoarding as well. It's a little less frequent in object hoarding than animal hoarding. But they can really get harmed by this.
Well, I want to thank Professor Randy Frost from Smith College about enlightening us about animal hoarding. Randy, where can listeners learn more about you and your work and about the hoarding of animals?
Well, the best resource is the International OCD Foundation website. It's ocfoundation.org. There's a hoarding center there. And it contains the most up-to-date and accurate information about hoarding and hoarding disorder. So that's a good resource, good place to start.
That's fabulous. Professor Randy Frost, the book is Stuff. Thank you very much for joining us on Animals Today.
Thank you, Peter.
Well, you've been listening to Animals Today. I want to invite you to go to animalstodayradio.com to learn all about us. Please visit us on Facebook as well. Each week we bring you interesting and serious stories about animals, where they fit in our world, and how we treat animals. After the break, I've got some hot animal news stories from around the globe, and maybe Lori will make a little appearance here. We'll see. See you in a moment.
Hi, I'm Robert Reese with the CEO Show Minute, where we connect you with America's top CEOs on Business Talk Radio Network. First this.
Every day, businesses lose critical customer and financial data as a result of cybercrimes, human errors, and natural disasters. Barracuda Networks, the world leader in content security, application delivery, and data protection, with more than 130,000 customers worldwide, can help. Barracuda Backup Service combines local backup and deduplication for rapid restores with data storage in the cloud for fail-safe disaster recovery. Protect your critical data. Visit Barracuda.com/backup to try Barracuda Backup Service free for 30 days. That's Barracuda.com/backup.
Robert Rees with Arkady Kuhlman, who built ING Direct to become America's largest savings bank. Arkady, what's your view on social media?
Well, our conversation is all about people voting with their dollars, right? That's our belief. So what people buy and what people, where they put their money, right, says a lot about them and what they're willing to stand with in terms of what the companies stand for, what they stand for. 7.5 million customers of ING Direct. A lot of them are on Facebook. A lot of them are now on Twitter. Email is all over the place. Cell phones, right? There's a lot of electronic networking that people do, and they talk about everything and everything. The challenge for a CEO and for a company like ours is we do want people to talk about it. 43% of our customers come by word of mouth. But the other problem is that you can't control it. You can't basically go out and shape the conversation in public. And people are going to say what they want. And people will say negative things and they'll say positive things. And that irritates a lot of business people. And certainly it irritates CEOs because they still believe that they are in control of their brand and how their conversation in the public is shaped.
Who controls your company?
Customers.
Thanks, Arkady. To watch my interview with Arkady Kuhlman, CEO of ING Direct, go to ceoshow.tv. That's ceoshow.tv.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think nobody's home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer at 1-866-789-3377. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-866-789-3377. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement, $35.99 per month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-866-789-3377. That's 1-866-789-3377.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million-bottle giveaway.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-644-7850. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactiv Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-644-7850. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactive.com or call 1-800-644-7850. That's 1-800-644-7850.
Here's another question from the Geico Savings Mailbag.
Susan from Miami asks, do you believe virtue is its own reward?
Ah, yes, indeed I do. But I also think cash is a pretty nice reward. And cash is exactly what you could save when you switch to Geico.
Right.
Yeah, and Geico also offers rewards in the form of good driver discounts, multi-car discounts, and defensive driver discounts.
So maybe discounts are their own rewards.
Hard to argue with that.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Time now for the final round. Mike has blue eyes, Jim has brown eyes. What does Joe have?
Bronchitis?
Correct.
Yes.
If X marks the spot,
Y folds the laundry.
Correct.
Woo!
How many TV episodes does Netflix let you watch instantly for only $8 a month?
As many as you want.
Correct. Watch unlimited episodes of your favorite TV shows and movies instantly through your game console or other devices. All for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
a faded sign at the side of the road that says 15 miles to the
Love Shack. Love Shack, yeah. Oh, I just love that. Welcome back to Animals Today. Hi, Lori.
Hey, Peter.
Thanks for letting me talk to Dr. Frost today. What an interesting guy.
Oh, it's a great interview.
And
very interesting.
He's really at the cutting edge of this sort of research, and I encourage people to visit the website he mentioned and go learn about what he's up to. And what a swell guy. And the book is called Stuff, by the way, so you can pick that up. In Florida, you may have seen a man was arrested recently because he was posting pictures of himself and his kids playing with a manatee in a creek. So you're not allowed to mess around with the manatees in Florida. Manatees are classified as an endangered species, and it's a second-degree misdemeanor to intentionally molest, harass, or disturb any manatee. So you just can't go to the creek and sit your kids down on the baby manatee.
Mm.
Okay, so he is in deep water, as they say. And it's not like it's the first time we've heard this story. I mean, people do this in Florida. I know they're cuddly and beautiful, and they've got that beautiful face, and they're unlikely to kill you. But please don't mess with the manatees.
It's amazing we have to tell people that they shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah, it's. But I don't get surprised by this stuff anymore.
Yeah.
The U.S. Supreme Court and this decision led by Justice Elena Kagan, they're letting her run wild, I guess, these days, has to do with a drug-sniffing dog. And in this case, the question was whether the specific dog used to sniff out some drugs has to be certified and has to have an actual track record of not making mistakes when you're using it to sniff out the drugs in terms of probable cause arguments. And the unanimous decision of the court was that it's very similar to every inquiry in probable cause. If it seems that a reasonably prudent person would think it's appropriate to use the dog, and the dog's been trained appropriately and certified, that's adequate. You don't have to go back into the specific case of every specific sniffer dog and prove that he's a perfect dog. So the Supreme Court weighing in on this. But, you know, the even bigger question is still looming, and this is, I think, going to be very interesting, and that is, can you take a sniffer dog, a dog trained to sniff out contraband or firearms or whatever, and walk him around the property and then use his or her alerts as your probable cause argument? Okay, so that is going to be a tougher thing. And imagine where that would go if you could just have any animal sniffing, and anytime they alert, then you can get your warrant or just go searching.
Yeah.
And what if you don't even need a dog? What if you just need a device that can detect anything? I mean, it just gets to a really bad place, I think. So
my cat has a hunch. There's something there.
Yes. The cat has a collar. Cat's been trained.
Right.
And he just wagged his tail in that way. So we're going to go run in your house and find the contraband.
Right.
I don't
That's
like
it.
That. Well, in Arizona, a new bill to revise the service animal laws is going to hopefully pass. It's going to define service animals as either trained dogs or miniature horses, but they're going to exclude other animals such as the lizards and the ferrets that sometimes you see on people's shoulders in restaurants because they're anxious. So, I guess it's a step in the right direction. The miniature horse thing is pretty disturbing, I'd say. I know, you know, there are arguments in favor of the miniature horses. They're very trainable. They're reliable, I guess. But to me,
more trainable, more reliable than a dog?
Well, that's the argument that's being made. But, you know, do you bring your miniature horse on a plane?
Yeah.
And what do you do with... And they're bred for this purpose. So
yeah.
Now you've got a whole industry of breeding miniature horses for the mildly anxious and socially withdrawn individual who happens to have an affinity toward horses, and a whole new industry is going to develop.
I feel mildly anxious and a little bit socially withdrawn. I think I want a miniature horse.
Yeah, and then when your horse gets anxious, you can get him a dog.
Right.
I mean, it just you can make this legislation, but there's always going to be people with Pomeranians in their purses who like having a pet around, who get certified by some nonsense physician or roadside prescription writer.
Yeah, but give me a break. Do you really need a lizard? Do you really need a ferret?
Okay, this
is your service animal.
This is the part I agree with.
Keep you calm.
If I'm in a restaurant, I even though I love ferrets and lizards are okay, I don't want to see them in the table next to me as I'm trying to eat.
Well, let's say you have a fear of flying, and the only thing that keeps you calm is your pet lizard.
Yeah, there's Greyhound. Take the bus.
Okay.
So, you know, it's been a tough year for mammals and other little creatures because according to a recent study, and probably you heard about this, cats, feral cats and partially feral cats are responsible for the death of billions of small animals such as mammals and chipmunks and birds, right, around the country.
Right.
And this research is finally coming to light. It was an analysis of multiple studies, and it estimates that cats kill between 1.4 and 3.7 billion birds every year and between 7 and 21 billion small mammals every year like voles and chipmunks.
Yeah.
And these are the cats that are either feral, free-roaming, independent cats or the ones that are belong to a family but sort of roam in and out and get access to the outside frequently. And this has really been a shocking revelation. We knew about this issue. We've discussed it on the show before. And there is this controversy between the bird advocates and the feral cat advocates as to what's the best way to handle the free-roaming or feral cat population. And are they really responsible for the death of these birds? And I think that wherever you come on this controversy, it is at least we're getting some data. So
yeah.
At least we know, have a reasonable idea of data that people can agree on. Now, what to do? Do you try to round up all the feral cats and just euthanize them? Well, that's not going to satisfy a lot of people. They're wrestling with this problem in New Zealand as well. But at least we've got some data to go on. And maybe rounding up the cats is not what the ecosystem needs. Maybe the cats are serving a useful role in this ecosystem. Well, I want to thank you for allowing me to host Animals Today Radio. Lori, I appreciate it. Please visit us on Facebook and the website. This is Dr. Peter Spiegel encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other beings sharing our planet, the animals.